So you've probably heard that as a dentist, you can make a lot more money and have a lot more control over your career when you own your own practice. And yeah, it's true. So once you've decided you want to buy a practice, what type of practice do you want to buy? What are you actually looking for? Today, I want to talk about what the ideal practice to buy looks like. Number one, it's in a location that you like. One of the great things about being a dentist is you can live literally anywhere that there are people because everyone has teeth, everyone is going to need a dentist, so you can literally live anywhere you want. The first step to finding a practice to buy is simply deciding where you want to live. There are so many awesome places to live. You just want to decide where, and then once you find a place you want to live, that's when you want to start looking for practices in that area. Number two, the ideal practice is going to have a lot of patients. The average dentist is going to be able to produce something like $600 to $700 per patient per year. So if you just do the math, let's say you're producing $600 per patient and you have 1,000 patients, you're going to be producing $600,000 that year. On the other hand, if you have 2,000 patients, you're still producing $600 per patient, you're now making $1.2 million. When you have a lot of patients on your schedule, it becomes so much easier. Keep in mind though that hygiene production is going to be a percentage of that. If your hygiene is producing 150 per recall and you have 2 recalls per year, that's $300. So then you only have to personally do 300 in production. That's not that hard to do. However, if you get into a situation where you're trying to produce $1,000 per patient, $1,500 per patient, the hygiene production is still going to be 300. Let's say you want your office to be producing $1,200 per patient. Hygiene does 300. That leaves 900 that you have to produce per patient. It's oftentimes dentists who are in these types of situations that they have to start doing things like over-treatment planning on patients, charging patients extra codes for things that don't really make sense. I saw a practice the other day where the dentist was literally charging patients for wound dressing after extractions. I mean, I've never heard of that. When I went through the report, the dentist had been adding on all these random codes and procedures that just didn't make sense and that really probably were a little bit unethical to be charging the patients. Yes, you want to be making money as a dentist, but you also want to be ethical and you want to treat your patients with respect. Make life easier for yourself and find a practice that has a lot of patients so that you can make decent money without having to over-treatment plan on any individual patient. Number three, the previous dentist, the seller of the practice, is doing as little dentistry as possible. You want to find a practice to buy where the seller has been doing basically no dentistry. Ideally, the seller has been slowing down, nearing retirement, hasn't felt like treatment planning, hasn't felt like doing crowns, isn't doing any specialty procedures, is referring out all the extractions, referring out all the implants, referring out all the ortho, and then you come in and you can add value to this practice by doing procedures that the previous dentist wasn't doing. What you don't want to do is buy a practice where the seller was some sort of guru doing all sorts of all-on-4 cases and implants and extractions and Invisalign and all these crazy different random things, sedation, etc. Because you come in and there's not really that much value you can add. The best you could hope to do is just match what the seller was doing, but that's not that good because you're not adding value. You're not going to be growing the practice that way. However, worst case scenario, you come in, you buy a practice from some dentist guru, you are now going to have to match their production. If you decide that you don't want to do endo and the seller was doing endo, well, now you're going to lose production that seller was doing. So you just paid extra for a practice that you're not going to be getting the full value out of. Find a practice where the dentist has been slowing down and has been doing as little dentistry as possible. Ideally, you want to find a practice where the patients had been coming in with decay and the dentist had been doing MODBL amalgams. You come in, these amalgams have been breaking, fracturing off. Now it's your chance to do the crown on that tooth. Number four, the practice has a solid team that has been there a long time. It is going to make your life so much easier if you find a practice that has a good office manager that has been there long enough to really understand the system and get to know the patients. It's going to make your life so much easier if you find a practice where the dental hygienists have relationships with patients and the patients are coming back to see that hygienist. It's going to make your life so much easier if you have a practice with dental assistants that are familiar with handing you the right type of composite at the right time and knowing how to take their own x-rays and knowing how to do temps, maybe even expanded functions duties, knowing how to deal with the laboratories, order supplies. One of the big reasons you're buying a practice is because you're hoping that some of these systems are in place so that you can come in day one, sit down in the chair and get to work and know that the team has your best interest in mind. They already know how to order the supplies. Everything is in place and you're good to go. If on the other hand, you find a practice where the entire team is new, they've only been there a few months, maybe they're missing a hygienist. They don't even have a hygienist at all. Maybe they don't have an office manager. The office manager just left, or maybe the office manager is leaving when you buy the practice. I'm not saying you can't make this work, but it's not ideal. Today's video, we're talking about the ideal practice to buy. And the ideal practice, you're gonna have a solid long-term team that has been at that practice and is going to continue to stay and work at that practice when you take over. Number five, the office has a lot of operatories. Look, you might say, well, I'm happy working out of three operatories. Maybe you are today, but what happens when you grow and you get a second hygienist? Now, two of your rooms are being occupied by hygienists and that only leaves one room for you. Now, let's say you do a crown, you have the assistant working on the temp, and your next patient is ready to get anesthetized. You have nowhere to sit that patient. The more operatories you can find, the better. It is very hard to change offices once you are established because the patients are going there to see you. Anytime you change offices, you risk that patients are not going to follow you to the next office. You might want to grow in the future. You might learn how to start working with three or four assistants and you're going to need multiple rooms. You might decide you want to bring in a specialist, maybe a periodontist to come in a couple times a month. You're going to need a room for that periodontist to work in. The ideal practice is going to have 8 to 10 operatories and it's going to have the ability to expand if you want even more than that. Sure, in real life, you might not find that. You might only find an office with 5 ops, 6 ops, but I'd be very careful buying anything with less than 5. Like 4, 3, 2 ops, definitely not 2 ops. Number 6, the dentist is definitely retiring, does not own any other practices in the area, and has zero chance that they're going to be working again. I'm definitely not recommending that you kill or paralyze anyone, but if you can find a practice where the dentist is like about to die or has just gotten paralyzed or something that like guarantees they're not going to work, that's sad for that dentist, but it's probably best for you. It is a huge risk that you take over a practice and the dentist decides to go work somewhere else or open up a new practice or buy another practice that's close enough that existing patients at your practice are going to now go see that dentist at another practice. When you are buying an office, you are buying it so that you can see those patients and you're expecting that that dentist is not going to keep working. Certainly, you're gonna have the seller sign a non-compete, but it can be really hard to actually enforce those. Yeah, you could take the dentist to court and sue the dentist for charges, but in the process of suing that dentist, you're gonna be losing so much goodwill. It's gonna take so much of your time. It's gonna take so much of your energy. It could end up being expensive. Maybe that would be covered by some sort of insurance you have, maybe not. Ideally, you find a situation where that's not even something you have to worry about. Certainly in real life, there's a little bit of risk involved and you're gonna have to talk to the dentist and try to get the best idea of what the dentist's plans are. But if you're in a situation where the dentist already has another office, maybe you're buying the dentist's second office and that second office is not that far away, I wouldn't even consider that practice. It's definitely not worth buying if the dentist is still gonna be working in town. Sometimes you'll find a practice where the dentist is maybe working an hour away. In that case, maybe it's still fine to buy the practice. It's not ideal. Today, we're talking about the ideal practice to buy. In real life, if the dentist is working an hour or two away, maybe it's not the end of the world. The practice is getting a lot of new patients and is not doing any marketing at all, spending $0 on advertising. That would be ideal. Ideally, the practice is seeing 50, 60 new patients per month and the seller is not doing any advertising. That'd be a sign that the practice is in a good location. Maybe it's visible from the road. Maybe the referral base is really strong at the practice. Maybe the practice is just in a town or a city where there are not enough dentists, and so there are a lot of new patients at this practice. The more new patients you can get organically without having to spend money or time or energy on advertising, the better, obviously. In real life, for most areas and for most practices, you're probably gonna have to do some marketing and some advertising if you're wanting to see more than 20 or 30 new patients per month. But worst case scenario, if you find a practice that's only getting 20 new patients per month, but they're spending $20,000 a month on marketing, Well, that's a bad sign. Next, the practice has two, maybe even three hygienists. When you buy a practice, you're buying access to patients. You want the most patients possible. And the more hygienists that a practice has, the more patients the practice has. Assuming those hygienists are actually working and have a full-time schedule. You're definitely, during due diligence, going to want to go through and look at the schedule and see to make sure that the hygienist schedules are actually busy. Realistically, a full-time hygienist is probably going to be able to see something like 700 to 800 patients per year. This means that if you find a practice that has two full-time hygienists, you can be reasonably confident that the practice has around 1,500 active patients. Remember, we said the average dentist is going to do something like $600 to $700 per active patient. So if you want to have a practice that is producing $1 million, maybe at a 60% overhead, that means that you're taking home $400,000 a year. That means you're going to want something like 1,600 to 1,700 active patients on your schedule. And in order to have that 1,600 to 1,700 active patients, you are going to need two full-time hygienists. Now, if you find one with three, that's even better. Now, if you have three full-time hygienists that are actually working full-time with their schedules filled, it might be time to consider a group practice, hiring an associate to come in and work alongside you, because doing three hygiene checks per hour while also keeping up with the production of those patients, that's something that a lot of dentists probably either aren't able to do or aren't going to want to do. Now, if you're really fast and want to make money, that's a great way to make a lot of money. Number nine, the practice has a lot of PPO and cash paying patients, but does not have a lot of, or ideally no, HMO patients or Medicaid patients. This is not rocket science. You want the patients that are going to be paying the most money per procedure. Cash paying patients are going to be paying the most. PPO patients are going to be paying the second most. HMO patients are probably going to be paying second to least. And Medicaid patients are probably going to be paying the least amount of money per procedure. I have worked at an office where I took Medicaid, and I was literally doing fillings for like $40. But remember, you have to pay your assistants. You have to buy composite. You have to pay for electricity. I didn't get to keep $40. That was after expenses. Now, this was when I was working as an associate, so I was keeping like 35%. So I kept 35% of that 40. You have to do a lot of fillings if you're only producing $40 per filling. On the other hand, a cash paying patient might be paying $300 to $400 for that same filling, and a PPO insurance plan might be paying something like $180 for that filling. All right, and our last point, this is something that isn't necessarily going to show up in the numbers, and this is why you have to actually go to the practice to see it, obviously, before you buy it. In the ideal practice, you're going to like to be there. You want to make sure the building is nice, that it has nice windows, that the air conditioner is working, that it doesn't smell too bad. You are quite literally going to be spending more of your waking hours in this building than probably anywhere else in your entire life. You want to make sure that you enjoy being at this place. If you hate being in cities, don't buy a practice in a city. If you hate being out in rural areas, don't buy a practice in a rural area. Maybe you had one of your friends or some other dentist tell you, well, if you just go 2 hours away from the city, you're gonna find a practice where you're able to make so much more money. But if you're not happy, if you don't like being there, don't buy a practice and move there. Life is relatively short. As a dentist, you have so many options. You can work wherever you want to work. Yeah, maybe you'd be making 20% more if you moved to that rural area. But if you're happier where you are in the city, I would stay just where you're happy. Don't overthink it. Just when you're at that office, do you like being there? Do you walk in the office and you feel like, I don't like it here? Well, then don't buy that office. All right, so are you going to find a practice that fits this criteria 100% all the time, no matter what? No. But keep in mind when you're looking at practices that you want to check off as many of these boxes as possible. The closer to ideal, the better. The good thing about buying a practice is that when you are the boss, when you're in control, you can change things. You can do whatever you want to do when you're the owner of the business. So if there's a few things about this office you don't like, those are things that you can change. Just keep in mind that the closer you get to ideal, the easier your life is going to be, the more money you're going to be making, the more control you're going to have, and the better you're going to feel about this purchase that you made. If you are looking for help evaluating practices, feel free to reach out to me. My email is in the description as well as my website. I have a service where I work with dentists through the entire process of buying a practice, all the way from being an associate to being an owner. There's a lot of steps. It's a massive ordeal to buy a practice. It ends up being worth it, but it is going to be a lot of stress and a lot of work in order to get there. If you're looking for someone to help you through that process, reach out. I wish you the best of luck looking for practices. Go out there, find an amazing practice to buy, and good luck.